They each left home to explore the world and fell in love with another country in more ways than one. Lucas Peters joins us in a minute to recommend the sights in the city of Tangier, Morocco, just across the Strait of Gibraltar from Spain. And in a bit, Nikki Solano shares her enthusiasm for Costa Rica, where nature and adventure make it the top tourism draw in Central America. Plus, a linguist from the Netherlands tells us how the language barrier can actually be a fun part of your travels. In less than an hour, a ferry ride from Spain to Morocco can take you into one of the most rewarding cultural contrasts that I think you'll find anywhere. The revitalized gateway city of Tangier offers a chance to wander its aimless, knotted streets and enjoy the flavors of North Africa. And the seaport of Tangier is where the very first American consulate was established, and it's long been the muse of authors and artists. Lucas Peters has lived in Morocco since 2009. He writes the Moon Guidebooks to Morocco and runs a tour company called Journey Beyond Travel. He joins us from his home in Tangier to help us navigate our way from the Medina to the Kasbah. Lucas, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick.
Now, you are an American traveler, and you ended up in Morocco, and you're now raising a family and writing guidebooks. How did all that happen?
Well, I mean, long story short, 2009, I just needed to travel. Like, I had this urge to travel to get out of the U.S. I was living in San Francisco at the time. You know, by chance, I took a gamble on Morocco. I'd never been here before. I traveled Europe a lot, so I was comfortable being very close to Europe, but it was just something different. And, you know, I was supposed to stay here a year, and here we are, you know, quite a few years later than that.
Tell us about your wife. How'd you meet her?
So I met my wife. She was also working at the university with me. She did not give me the time of day for about 2 years. And then one day, by some miracle, we actually had a really nice conversation. And then we've been tight ever since, you know.
Wow. Did you know how to speak Arabic back then, or have you learned that since you got married?
You know, I was learning. I'm still learning. I always say I'm still learning. As much as I maybe do know, there's still always kind of more to know.
Well, not that I could be a judge, because I don't know the first word in Arabic, but you sound great in Arabic, or at least for the American tourist. Hey, when you think about going from Spain to Morocco, I love this idea that from the top of the Rock of Gibraltar, I think it's the only place in the world where you can see two continents and two seas coming together at the same time. And what a strategic and exciting place where Islam and Christendom meet. And no wonder Tangier has such an interesting history. And then what I just love as a guidebook writer is to prepare our travelers. First of all, encourage them to take that leap, because a lot of people are a little bit nervous about leaving Europe for Africa. But you just show your passport, you buy a ticket, you hop on the ferry, and you're there. What is really important for people to remember is it may be complicated and confusing linguistically and in a labyrinthine market, but you can hire a guide quite reasonably for $60 or 60 euros, and that is the best $60 you could spend. Now, when somebody's getting off the boat in Tangier, and they have half a day, what do you think a good local guide will show them? What are the basics for the quick half-day trip to Tangier? Of course, you should stay longer, but what are you going to do in half a day?
Well, first of all, you're going to stay in the Kasbah and Medina, the oldest quarter of Tangier. And in there, the two things that I absolutely have to see. I would start in the Kasbah at the top. The Kasbah is on top of the hill. And I would start at the Ibn Battuta Museum. Ibn Battuta, if you're not familiar with him, he is what I like to refer to as perhaps the world's greatest traveler. He's very much of the same era of Marco Polo. And I think for all of us itinerant travelers out there, to be inspired by somebody who traveled the world 500 years ago and saw the things that he got to see, I think is an amazing sort of moment. After that, you get to go through the Kasbah, the Medina. You see the souks, the markets, the liveliness of it all, of old Tangier. You go through the Petit Soko that is so historic. But the other thing you have to go to...
What is the Petit Soko? Because I know there's a Grand Soko and a Petit Soko, a big one and a little one.
Yeah, there's the little one that's inside the Medina and the big one that's outside the Medina. And a Soko, it's just a market. There was like a big collection of markets that were right there in the in the middle. So you go from the little market all the way to the American Legation. And all of this is, you know, it's maybe takes you an hour of walking through all this, you know, and you'll have your guide to lead you through the little alleyways and everything.
And once again, you got your guide, which is really important, because it's hard to follow a map. It's hard to fend off all of the people that want you to buy things. It's hard to know what's this and what's that. It's hard to know what you put into your mint tea, you know. And when you've got your guide, you've got your friend, your translator, And I think you should always require that you're not just a victim of shopping for kickbacks. You want to have a precondition of hiring your guide. You do not take me shopping unless you want to go shopping.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good when you are hiring a guide to lay that out when you first meet them. Like, here's the things you're most interested in. And then if you're not interested in shopping, make sure they know that. Say, hey, I don't want to see any carpet shops. I don't want to see any trinkets. I really just want to go to this museum, experience the markets, et cetera.
Now, the American legation, that's kind of like a consulate, I guess. And in the whole world, it's the only time I've really found where you really got to see the American consulate. What's the deal?
Yeah. So like you said, that is like the original American consulate here in Morocco. And it was functioning for, I think, 150 or something years. But now it's a legation and it functions more as a museum. But what's interesting is it is the only U.S. national monument outside of the United States.
Because isn't it true Morocco is the first country to recognize us as a country?
Yes, they were the first country, Morocco, to recognize the U.S. as independent from Great Britain.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, so you're walking around the market and you've got your famous sites to see, the Ibn Battuta Museum, the American Legation, and a few synagogues and a few mosques and a few churches. And then you really want to dive into the marketplace. One of my favorite tips that you gave me was what I call the 10 dirham snacking tip. 10 dirham is about a dollar. Can you explain that to our listeners? Because it empowers you like you can't believe.
Yeah, so it is. It's one of my absolute favorite snacks to get as well. So as you're going around these old, and this isn't just Tangier, like any old market you're going to see in Morocco, you will see these vendors selling dried fruits and nuts. And the key word to know is mix, right? Everybody understands mix. So what you can do is hold out your 10 dirham, you know, a little coin. It's about a dollar. You hand them a dollar and you just say mix. And then they will fill it up with walnuts, peanuts, whatever else you want.
And you can do it with olives?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's olive vendors.
I mean, what a great thing. Tangier, Morocco is a convenient day trip from southern Spain. It's our destination right now on Travel with Rick Steves, and it's where Lucas Peters lives. He designs custom tours of the city and the rest of Morocco through his tour company, Journey Beyond Travel, and posts videos of Morocco on YouTube. Lucas is the author for the Morocco and Marrakesh guidebooks published by Moon. And he's the lead writer for Moon's Grand European Journeys, due out in February 2024. His personal website links to Instagram photos of his family's Moroccan adventures at lucasmpeters.com. Lucas, when I'm in Morocco, I'm always thinking of the cultural difference from Spain to North Africa and the Arab world and Islam. And you go to the bar scene, which would be cafes, because there's no alcohol sold, and it's all about tea, basically. I mean, I love those venerable old tea houses. Tell us about that tea house experience.
So Moroccan mint tea. I mean, this is what we drink in Morocco, you know. You'll find a lot of traditional coffee shops and such in Tangier, but mint tea is the thing. And so you have Café Haffa, Café Baba, the Grand Café de Paris. You have all these other cafes you can go to where the thing to do is to order a mint tea, sit, people watch. But just ask for a little bit of sugar. Everybody knows because they tend to put a lot of sugar in their mint
teas.
That was
the only question I had. If I said tea, they would say, I would assume they, because they asked me, do you want this or that? And I think it's with sugar or without sugar, right?
Sucre, bla sucre. You know, sugar or no sugar.
I spend a lot of time in tea shops. And one thing I learned to order is an extra glass because it's so hot, you can't pick it up and hold it. But you pour it into your small glass. And I looked around and a lot of guys were doing that.
So you could do the second tea glass, or you could do the fingers on the top and bottom of your tea glass.
And the one I heard in the tea shops, this is fun because we're just kind of getting off on a little thing about tea shops or cafes, but that's how you experience a culture. It's not a bucket list of famous sites. It's an experience. You sit down in that cafe and you hear the happy sound of dice.
Yeah, you'll hear, first of all, you'll hear the dice clinking across what sounds like glass, and that's exactly what it is. And you look around and they will be playing Parcheesi. They call it Parcheesi in the local dialect here. But Parcheesi is the game of the North. You'll see this played in every tea shop.
I was blown away. I thought that was like chutes and ladders, you know, like that's what you finished in grade school ages ago. But no, in the cafes, all over in the parks, people are playing Parcheesi. Now, traditionally, Tangier had lots of hustlers, lots of people, you know, just bugging tourists. I've noticed the government is fighting that now, and you don't find the hustlers in the street. You don't find all this, the pressure.
Yeah, when the new king, well, I shouldn't say new anymore, but when Mohammed VI came to power, in the late 90s. He really wanted to develop Tangier. And one of the big things we did was get rid of a lot of the hustlers. Not to say they're all gone. You know, you'll still find some occasionally, but not nearly like what you would find 20 years ago. It's quite a bit cleaned up as far as that goes, along with all the other projects he's done in terms of, like, you know, rebuilding the entire seafront and, you know, putting ports in there to make it easy to go from straight from the ferry right into the Medina. You know, you just cross the street. It's right there.
Well, this is, we should remember that name, Mohammed VI, the modern king.
Yeah.
And he, I think Tangier is one of the most changed in a positive way cities that I've ever traveled in.
Yeah, you know, what Mohammed VI has done very well is he's understood the importance of maintaining history and at the same time modernizing a city and finding that balance of, you know, yeah, let's reinvigorate the Medinas and Kasbahs, let's restore them, but at the same time, why not build a new Ibn Battuta Museum to celebrate the Arab world's great traveler who's from Tangier, you know?
Lucas, let's cap our conversation with just what's one little intimate experience that you love to share with a guest who comes from far away to your hometown, Tangier?
Well, we were talking about mint tea earlier. It's hard not to take people to Cafe Haffa, have a great mint tea, and then walk over to the Phoenician tombs that overlook the Strait of Gibraltar right across to Spain. There's nothing maybe more magical than that, except for if you get it right at sunset.
Well, you took me there just about at sunset, and I'll never forget standing on that bluff looking over at Spain. And you could almost reach out and touch it. And then I said, what are these carved out square things in the ground on the stones I was standing on? You told me those are Phoenician tombs, right?
Yeah, Phoenician tombs. They've been there for like 3,000 years or something.
So much. Mint tea, local people out on a cheap date, sunset, Spain across the Strait of Gibraltar. And that's just a fun way to cap a day in Tangier. Lucas, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Like Lucas did, our next guest also left home and made a new life for herself in another country. Canadian Nikki Solano shares what she thinks you'll also love about Costa Rica. And later in the hour, Gaston Doran explains how, even with a dictionary, a language never really stands still. He takes us language spotting to better understand the complexities of Europe. It's Travel with Rick Steves.